Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my two wonderful sisters, Kylie.
Hey, everybody.
And Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, Disneyland will reopen on April 30th, Magic Mobile Service is coming to Disney World, and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will open on October 1st. Later on, we'll talk about our March Madness-style Disney Bracket Challenge. So, take a little break in your busy day, and let's start daydreaming. Just a reminder, as always, to follow our social media accounts. You can find us on Instagram at Diz Daydream, like our Facebook page, Disney Daydream Podcast. And if you're interested in being a financial supporter of our show, we do have a Patreon page. You can find us at patreon.com/DisneyDaydream, and we offer our patrons some special perks like free merchandise, access to mini episodes, shoutouts, and more. So be sure to check us out on Patreon, and you can also check us out on Teespring. We have a online merchandise store. You can buy phone cases, face masks, shirts, all of that good stuff. teespring.com/stores/DizDaydream. And our show is sponsored by our wonderful, wonderful patrons and by Daydream Travel Agency, your experts at planning the perfect trip to Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, or Aulani. Check out DaydreamTravelAgency.com for more information, to request a quote, or to utilize any of our completely free vacation planning services. Never a better time to hop on that, especially as we're thinking about doing more traveling as we're emerging from COVID. So be sure, if you're itching to take another Disney trip, do it through Daydream Travel Agency. And first up for our news for today, huge announcement. Finally, after 13 months of closure, Disneyland is reopening on April 30th. California Governor Gavin Newsom made the announcement a couple weeks ago that the state's theme parks could begin reopening as soon as April 1st. As long as their particular county was out of the most serious purple tier in terms of COVID infection rates. But because of the vaccination process for California citizens is kind of ahead of schedule, Orange County is currently in the second highest tier, the red tier, and the numbers are continuing to drop. So in this tier, theme parks could reopen at 15% capacity, but it was unlikely that Disney or Universal would be able to make a profit if the parks were that low, so we didn't expect them to open in the red tier. Disney CEO Bob Chapek recently released the following statement, quote, "By waiting an extra few weeks, Orange County will likely be in the less restrictive orange tier, which would allow the parks to operate at 25% capacity, more in line with the Disney World numbers when that park began to reopen. Of course, not everything will be operational at the end of April. Certain hotels, restaurants, attractions, or shows might remain closed or will operate at a very reduced capacity, and FastPass and MaxPass will not return." So we do expect that by April 30th, Orange County will most likely be in that orange tier. Park capacity is going to be managed through a new theme park reservation system, very much like the one at Disney World. Due to current state guidelines, only California residents will be able to visit the theme park until further notice. And prior to the full public reopening, the resort's going to invite some cast members and other members of the community to do a soft reopening leading up to that date. So that's that's pretty much expected. I don't foresee Disneyland having any issues reaching near that 25% capacity level, even if it's just restricted to California residents, because people are itching to get back. And the taste of, what was it called? The Taste of Disney or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
That event at California Adventure, that sold out really quickly. So people were interested in doing just a dining and shopping event and paying $75 for it. So you know that this is going to be a hot reservation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my guess is that we're also going to see the single largest increase in ticket prices that we've ever seen before. They've been hinting at that too. Disney's been trying to say that, you know, Disneyland is going, we're trying to make it a more high level exclusive theme park experience. So, Kylie, you mentioned, I think, in our last episode that those regular park tickets cost upwards of like $108 a day currently. Mm-hmm. And even if we saw things around $150 a day, I wouldn't be too surprised. So wow. You quote me on that. I might be horribly wrong, but I think that is what we're looking at as we move forward, at least for the foreseeable future. But we know that once prices increase for something, they never come down. No. Once Disney takes perks away, they don't come back. And once they increase the prices, they don't go back to their original level. But that is something to follow. So, you guys excited for the return of Disney on both coasts?
Yes, for sure. It's really crazy to hear that Disneyland has been closed for 13 months. Like, I don't know. I guess I'd never really registered that it has been that long. It doesn't feel like it's been over a year, but it's very exciting. And hopefully it can be done safely. And since they already did it with Disney World, which is much larger, I think that it should be a pretty smooth opening.
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, probably one of the bigger financial hits that Disney is taking this year, having not been able to even reopen Disneyland. So I'm excited that things are starting to get a little more back on track, and hopefully we'll see the reopening start to affect some of the other areas, like the renovations at Disney World. Now that there's more money coming into the company in general, I think we're going to start to see things go back to normal a little bit more.
Our next news story for today, Magic Mobile Service is coming to Disney World. So this service was promised when Disney announced that they were going to be ending the complimentary Magic Bands that resort guests get. But we finally have some details on what this will involve. Magic Mobile Service is going to begin coming to Disney World in phases later this year. And the service will allow guests to use their iPhone, Apple Watch, or other smart device as your Magic Band, essentially. So if you're unfamiliar with what exactly Magic Bands do, they allow you to do things such as enter your room, enter the theme parks, use fast passes, and even pay for things. You can connect your credit card to your Magic Band and just pay with that. So guests will be able to create their Magic Mobile Pass in the My Disney Experience app. And then similarly to if you were to put your boarding pass on your phone, you'll then add that pass to your virtual wallet. And then this will allow you to get into the parks and do all the things you can do with your Magic Band. This program is going to roll out first for Apple products. And like I said, it will start to appear later this year. However, it seems as though this is going to roll out pretty quickly. Some reports have been saying that guests are already receiving notifications when they get into the park, prompting them to turn on Bluetooth to enhance their park experience. And this is kind of leading up to introducing this program to the devices. It's also important to note Magic Bands will still exist. You still have the option to use a Magic Band, and you actually have the option to use both if you want to. So you could kind of switch them out and use whichever is best for you at that current moment if you wanted to have it on your phone and on your wrist. I'm most excited that this is going to apply for Apple Watches. The thing I love about Magic Band is that it's like strapped to your body. You don't have to be holding it in your hand. I don't want to always be like digging for my phone when I need to use things. I like that it's just strapped to me. So the fact that I could use my Apple Watch for that is exciting for me. But what do you guys think about this?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I'm glad that Magic Bands are still an option. I don't have an Apple Watch, and I don't know, especially right now, since we're wearing masks, it's very, like, it takes a long time to get into your phone compared to usual, especially if you have an Apple phone that has Face ID, because it doesn't recognize your face with a mask on. So I think, yeah, if you have an Apple Watch, that'll be really convenient, and ultimately it'll be the same as a Magic Band. But yeah, I think overall it's a cool addition, especially because you can choose which one you are more interested in.
Yeah, I guess I'm not inconvenienced at all with this, so I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't do the Apple Watch thing either, but when this first came out, I was just like, ugh, another app?
Yeah.
Like, because there are already two. You already have the My Disney Experience app and, like, the Disney Play app that's supposed to be, like, the park interactive type of thing.
Yeah.
And now this is, like, a third app option. I was just kind of wondering, like, are they trying to do away with My Disney Experience? Because that's a pretty wildly unpopular app because it's down so much and seems to just be the drainer of all phone. Like, yeah. It'll just destroy your phone battery. I wonder if they're trying to do away with it. And I was just like, huh, they can't, like, integrate these features into that app right now. Like, it has to be something separate. But I don't know. I don't know enough about coding and programming to probably understand those nuances, but I just don't want to have something else on my phone that I need to do in the park. I like the convenience of the Magic Band. Mm-hmm. So that's a big win, and I'm still going to use the Magic Band. I guess it is nice if you've never been to Disney and you're not interested in spending the extra like $5 because they're not giving out the free Magic Bands anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, it's just, I don't have storage on my phone in the first place. Like, I probably don't have storage to download one of these apps, you know? So I don't know how I'm going to get three.
But you don't even have My Disney Experience on your phone.
No, I delete it after our trips because it takes up too much space.
Nice. And we finally have an opening date for maybe one of the most anticipated attractions that we thought would be opening last year. And for us, it's bad news. So Emma, why don't you share this story?
All right. So Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will be officially open at Epcot on October 1st of 2021. And this was announced by Bob Chapek at the virtual annual meeting of shareholders of the Walt Disney Company. And the attraction is officially debuting as part of the kickoff for the world's most magical celebration in honor of Disney World's 50th anniversary. The opening date is way later than expected because the ride has actually been complete for at least 3 months. We know this because when the creator of Ratatouille, the TikTok musical, visited Disney in late December, she was able to look at the ride, like, behind the scenes without any safety gear on. So that kind of indicates that it's no longer a construction zone and that it's finished. It's exciting in a way, but it's also extremely sad for us because it won't be open when we go this summer, but I mean, at least it'll open eventually. Also, you guys should look up the pictures from this ride because the little rat vehicles you ride in are really cute and they have really cute faces.
I'm just disappointed because the ride's literally sitting complete.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, this whole section of Epcot, basically, in Paris is complete. And it's confirmation about how behind things are still.
Yeah.
About how these attractions are just like at least a full year delayed, because they just essentially needed something. They needed some big ticket attraction to open for the 50th. And apparently it's Ratatouille because they can't get anything else done in time. One of Guardians of the Galaxy, the Tron coaster won't be ready. So they needed something. And I guess it's going to be this. I'm just really upset that essentially they could be operating this attraction and it's just pushed. We thought it would be open for the summer of last year. Yeah. Like late spring, summer of 2020. And now it's fall of 2021. So a huge delay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like my last glimmer. I'm an eternal optimist and to a fault. And so I was like holding out hope. I was like, well, maybe they can get Guardians ready and maybe they can get Tron ready and all these things. And then slowly as the months have gone on, I've like accepted that those weren't going to open. But my last like glimmer of hope was, but Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will be open and that'll be great and fun. And then now it won't be either.
Yeah, and I was so hopeful for that too, because it is an attraction. I'm starting to come to grips with the fact that we're probably not going to see any shows, and probably not the nighttime spectaculars. It's just all sinking in that it's going to be a bit different. It's still going to be super nice and magical just to be there, and there are new things that we will be able to experience. Incredibly excited to see Galaxy's Edge, incredibly excited to ride Runaway Railway. But there's a lot that is being left on the table.
We may just get to explore our hotels a little bit more. We're going to be staying at two really cool hotels, so maybe we just have a little extra time at those.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating because there are pictures of people literally riding the ride, so you know it's been tested and everything. It's completely done, and that's not concept art, you know?
Well, if you think about how long Disney spends on just like testing and like working out operational things, like this ride was set to open June 2020. Disney closed in March 2020. Like they were like getting close to like starting to work out, okay, how do we operate this ride a year ago? You know? So it's not like there was a lot of construction that had to be done post COVID. And it was literally just like, okay, let's train cast members on this and figure it out. And then we can open. Like that's all that needs to be done.
And I was also thinking like, is there revamping, getting it closer and closer to 100% capacity, like just having more attractions because a lot of the shows aren't being offered seems like a huge plus.
Yeah.
As they start to actually need to think about social distancing when a lot more people are inside of the park and kind of spreading out these lines. So that was just, you know, another layer of like, wow, I can't believe that they have a ready to go attraction that is just not going to run for an extra 3 or 4 months. But anyway, you know, you gotta just nowadays focus on the positives, and it's gonna be another thing for next trip.
We'll that's have a what lot to do next trip.
Yes, for sure.
That's what Disney's always so good at. All right, so please stay with us in honor of the ridiculousness that's gone on this year for March Madness. We have done our own bracket challenge. That topic is coming right up. So I'm a pretty big college basketball fan. I wonder if any of our listeners have brackets that are still anywhere near decently good. I know mine was absolutely destroyed after round one, and round two just put the final nail in the coffin. But I love these things, and a lot of shows and podcasts do fun bracket challenges, and I thought it was time for us to hop in on the action and Emma suggested this idea, and, you know, let's just run with it. So we each chose an individual category of just Disney, basically, and we did a little bit of research to come up with the top 16 things in that category, and then we filled out our bracket from there, choosing our preferences. So I'm going to take the first one. I chose the topic of Disney songs, and to do my research, I basically looked up the top 16 Disney songs in terms of Spotify streams, just as like a total number of streams. And let me tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed in the Disney listeners on Spotify because, wow, they left off some crucial songs in the Disney canon. And this bracket is an absolute mess. With that, let's just hop into it. Kylie and Emma, you're going to be shocked with some of these. So
right.
Here we go. And of course, so we just did 16 different entries for each of our brackets, because if we talked through a full 64 thing, you know, that would just take forever. So, all right. The first matchup, the number one seed versus the lowest ranked 16 seed. Number one, not surprising. Let It Go.
Oh,
from Frozen. Yeah. If you think, you know, Spotify streams, okay. Yeah. Number 16. We're starting off crazy here. Number 16, Circle of Life.
Oh my God.
From The Lion King.
Wow.
So talk about a matchup of some heavy hitters. Two phenomenal songs. And it is a shame that Circle of Life is ranked so low.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
I don't want anybody to come at me here. If you're like 14 years old listening to this show, and, you know, Let It Go was like the staple of your formative years in your childhood. But Circle of Life is probably the most iconic opening song, maybe yeah. maybe of any movie ever. It's an excellent, excellent song. I love Let It Go. And in terms of Frozen songs, like, yeah, wow, what an epic song. But I have David beating Goliath here. The number 16 seed is upsetting the number one seed, and Circle of Life is moving past Frozen's Let It Go.
Yes.
Do you agree there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, so Circle of Life is now into the Elite Eight. Next, the number 8 seed against the number 9. Number 8, Shakira's Try Everything from Zootopia.
My God.
What a dark horse. I mean, that's a great song, though. That's a good song.
I will admit that I contribute probably a lot of those streams because I love using that song for my little dance classes.
Yeah.
It's a good dance song.
Why is that even... I know why it's considered a Disney song, but, like, it shouldn't be considered a Disney song. I don't know. It was in the movie, but...
It's a bop, and it's number 8 because I think it's surprising... In America, I mean, Shakira hasn't been popular in the U.S. now for probably close to a decade, but still is like a worldwide musical icon. Shakira is one of the most popular pop singers still. So number 9, Love is an Open Door, more Frozen.
Of course.
Okay. I'm a big fan of Disney love duets, so I'm pretty sappy that way. And for that reason, Love is an Open Door is moving on to the next round. All right. This is the one that you wouldn't guess in a million years. Number 4 versus number 13. Take a wild guess. What do you think might be like the fourth most streamed Disney song?
Oh, gosh.
It's definitely a wild guess. Wow.
Yeah, think a little out of the box.
I don't know. Like something from Tangled. I guess that's not really out of the box. Something else from Frozen.
What's Olaf's song?
Summer.
That's my guess.
Okay. Yeah, interesting guess, but no. Number 4. By Rascal Flatts, Life is a Highway from Cars.
Wow. Okay.
My gosh.
the fourth most streamed Disney song of all time. Wow. Life is a Highway.
Once again, I don't think that should be considered a Disney song.
And then number 13, We Know the Way from Moana.
Mm. Okay, that's a good song.
I mean, Life is a Highway, yeah, that's a great song. But to Emma's point, that song was composed before Cars by Tom Cochrane. It wasn't even originally a Rascal Flatts song, and it was originally called Love is a Highway. And if you listen through the entire lyrics, the last verse definitely makes it feel like it's a love song, which doesn't fit where it's placed in Cars. So that's my technical reason why Life is a Highway cannot win here. Also, Cars gets too much love. So we're going to give this one to the upset, the number 13, We Know the Way. Next, the number 5 seed, one that makes sense, Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, yeah.
The title song, of course, from Beauty and the Beast. Versus, tough matchup, number 12 is Hakuna Matata from The Lion King. Hearing Beauty and the Beast, though, just makes me feel a certain type of way. And I love me some Angela Lansbury, so I decided to give this one to number 5, Beauty and the Beast. All right, on the other side of this bracket, number 2 versus number 15. Two Moana songs. The first one, How Far I'll Go. Mm. And number 15 is Where You Are.
Oh.
Which, to me, this one is pretty cut and dry right here. It's How Far I'll Go. That one is easily moving on. Love that song. Number 7 versus number 10. Some good choices here. The number 7 was A Whole New World. And number 10, Under the Sea. Oh. I had a pretty hard time choosing between these because I really enjoy them both. But I kind of gave you the spoiler that I'm sappy for Disney love duets. So I chose A Whole New World. Also, when I made a really cringy movie quite a while back, I included that song in the movie. So there we
go. Same with Beauty and the Beast, right?
Oh, yeah. Both of those made an appearance in the film. So it's stuck with me for a long time. Number 3. Oh, actually, this might be as infuriating as Life is a Highway. The number 3 most streamed Disney song of all time on Spotify is You're Welcome.
Oh my gosh, I hate that song.
I contribute to that too. I use that in Tap every week. Every week
That's
I play
gross.
That.
Gross, you should stop.
It's a great tap. It's the good speed for babies tapping.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anyway.
It's your fault.
So, nothing against Dwayne the Rock Johnson, but that is just an okay song. Upset alert. I don't even need to say anything else about this upset right now. Number 14, I See the Light from Tangled.
14? That is so one sad. Of the best Disney songs.
It's moving on. And then last in our first round, the number 6 seed is You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan.
I was waiting for a Tarzan to
come up. Right. Yeah. And then number 11, I Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King. That was a tough one for me, but I did feel that I gave some love to the Circle of Life, and I just, that You'll Be in My Heart is another one that just makes you, it transports you to watching the film into an emotional place each time. So I went with You'll Be in My Heart. A little bit of Phil Collins love there. So our Elite Eight, here we go. Number 16, Circle of Life versus 9, Love is an Open Door. This is a less difficult matchup than the first round with these. So Circle of Life to me is the clear cut winner. The number 16 is going to the final four. Number 13, We Know the Way versus number 5, Beauty and the Beast. Another one I didn't have to think too much about. Beauty and the Beast, pretty clearly the winner in my book here. Now we have number 2, How Far I'll Go, versus number 7, A Whole New World. That was tough for me.
Yeah, that's hard.
Because I really like How Far I'll Go. I just thought that, you know, a whole new world has endured for some more decades, and it's still just so fun to sing along to. I moved the number 7 along here, so a whole new world's in the final four. And then I See the Light, number 14, against You'll Be in My Heart, number 6.
Oh, my gosh.
Tangled, if you've listened to our, was it the our top 5 Disney movies? When did we talk about Tangled?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like
no,
favorite.
Princess movies, right?
Right. Yeah, like favorite something and like least favorite princess movies or something. Yeah. So we all had Tangled at the top of our list. I think the music in Tangled is stunning. I love I See the Light. It's moving on. Final four matchups. Number 16, Circle of Life, against number 5, Beauty and the Beast. This one is tough, but to me, you just cannot knock off Circle of Life. Mm-mm. You just really can't. It's hard to top that song. So Circle of Life is heading to the finals. Now number 7, A Whole New World, against number 14, I See the Light. Number 14's going to the finals. I See the Light. And we have the final two, 16 versus 14. So this bracket is an absolute mess. The underdogs are the champions here. Number 16, Circle of Life. And number 14, I See the Light. My champion. Oh, this was so hard.
What a hard choice.
This was really hard for me. I get that empirically, Circle of Life is probably the better song, but Tangled came around at the perfect time for me in my life. I sang I See the Light at like a talent show or something in high school, or at a cabaret in high school.
Yeah.
I love this song. It was like my first serious girlfriend. This was our song. I mean, I love this thing. Actually, the first time I saw this in theaters, and that song came like towards the end of the film, that's like the moment when it registered, okay, this is probably like going to be my favorite ever Disney movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like, that's the moment that solidified it, because everything had been so strong, and it felt like this was the perfect little song to kind of cap off the movie.
Yeah.
So I ended up choosing I See the Light as the champion of this Disney songs bracket. Any disagreement here? Any strong feelings against this?
No, I would have picked that too.
I would have picked Circle of Life, but The Lion King is my all-time favorite Disney movie. So
yeah,
makes but sense. Tangled is like, you know, right up there. So I mean, I understand the why you would choose that one.
Yeah, but both options are completely valid. It's really hard to pick between. It's just a matter of personal movie preference, I guess.
But man, I cannot believe those two were ranked so low.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I mean, there was nothing from any of the classic Disney movies.
Yeah.
Nothing pre like 89.
Yep.
There was no, I mean, there was no Princess and the Frog, which makes me sad. Mm. No
Boo.
Representation there at all. There was just a lot that was left out. So it would be interesting to make brackets that are actually our favorites, and we rank our top 16. So that might come next year during March. We'll see. So, all right. Disney songs, we're done. Emma, take us through your bracket, please.
Okay. So I chose to do Disney Pixar characters. Basically, my seeds are determined by Rolling Stone's ranked list of Disney Pixar characters. I think there were actually 25 in this list, but I did the top 16. And I'm just very confused and upset. And okay, let's just start it off here. So the number one on this list, I understand, but personally, I hate this character so much. It's Joy from Inside Out.
Oh, number one?
Yes.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I cannot stand Joy. She's too happy. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just, she's annoying. and then number 16 is Sully.
Aww.
From Monsters, Inc. And obviously, yeah.
Wow. 16 Sully. Okay. So is it a big upset here?
Yeah. Yeah, Sully's moving on. I mean, I already said how I feel about Joy. I don't think I have to explain it much.
I'm not upset about that. That makes sense to me. Sully's a great character.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The next one, so the number 8 is going along with this theme, Mike Wazowski. and number 9 is Edna Mode.
Oh.
So, like,
icon.
Yeah. You know, Mike's great. One eye, pretty cool. I like the meme of him with the two eyes and the weird nose. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's really
funny.
Oh,
yeah, I do.
Look it up. People changed the, like, the thing that comes up when you search Mike Wazowski to that meme once. I think it got changed, but, like, yeah, anyways, so, yeah, but Edna Mode, I mean, she's an icon. I can't pass that up, so she's moving on. Okay, this one is the one that confused me the most because it is so obscure. Like,
I guess it's something with the number 4 seeds. They're all crazy.
Yeah. Do you guys have any guesses?
Pixar characters.
Yeah.
Let's see. Early or later Pixar? Or middle. I guess middle.
Middle.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, middle.
Bo Peep?
No. That'd be so funny.
Yeah, that's early, middle, and late Pixar.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's Anton Ego.
Wow.
What? I know. Okay. That's so random. Yeah, for number 4, I was very surprised. And then 13 is Mr. Fredrickson from Up.
Oh.
Yeah, and like, okay, I honestly do like both characters. Like, even though Anton Ego is very random, I think I really like his backstory, you know? But I had to pick Mr. Fredrickson because he's just funny and an old man and cute.
Yeah,
and also his backstory, so you know,
right.
So number 5 is Jessie from Toy Story.
Okay,
plural. And this is funny, number 12 is Woody.
Oh, huh.
And
easy.
I don't know if this is, now I'm not sure if I picked the right one, but I mean, it's right in my mind. I picked Jessie.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like Woody. He's annoying.
I think Jessie's annoying.
Oh, I think Jessie's annoying too, but
Jessie's
voice
drives me nuts.
I think why I like Jessie so much is that is from Toy Story 2 with the really sad song, and it just makes me want to cry. And that's why I like her. So, I don't know.
What was your pick, Austin?
Oddly, after the choices made in Toy Story 4, Jessie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it would totally be Woody early on in my life. I had, like, the Woody dolls and stuff. And yeah. I also had Buzz, but yeah. And then, yeah, Toy Story 2, Jessie had the incredible song. Sure, I can't knock, like, the character actress's voice being kind of annoying.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. Now moving on to the other side, the number 2 spot is Wall-E, and aww, the number 15 spot is Bing Bong. And I actually like, this is really hard because I really like both. I don't know. It was a really hard decision, but ultimately I picked Bing Bong because what is it? Take Her to the Moon for me. That makes me want to cry. I love Bing Bong. He's so cute and pure. So, yeah. Also, disclaimer, the right side of this is way harder than the left. So it's really strange. Okay. Moving on. So number 7 is Sadness versus number 10, which is Buzz Lightyear. And again, I like both characters. I don't like, this was really hard too, but I had to pick Sadness because I really like Sadness. I like Sadness's character. All right, next, number three is Dory, which, like, I don't think that's a very surprising ranking. That's probably the one that makes the most sense. And then 14, Elastigirl. I thought that was random too. Like, I get it, but I don't know. But yeah, ultimately I picked Dory between those two. Dory's really funny and number six is Merida.
I always forget she's Pixar.
I know, so do I. And then number 11 is Doug.
Oh.
So that was also really hard because I really do like both characters. And, like, I'm still going back and forth, but I went ahead and picked Doug.
Yeah, I felt an upset alert there.
Yeah, it's just hard. I don't know. I like both characters a lot, but yeah. Okay, so now moving on to the Elite Eight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so back over to the left side, Sully at number 16 versus Edna Mode at 9, and Sully won this one.
Yeah, the 16s. Let's go.
And Mr. Fredrickson, number 13, versus Jesse, number 5, and Mr. Fredrickson won that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's what a guy.
A 13. Yeah. And then Bing Bong, number 15, versus Sadness, number 7. I went ahead and picked Bing Bong.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the final four, there's 16.
13 and 15 so far. And then, just wait for it, okay? So then Dory versus Doug, I picked Doug, and that is number 11. So we've got amazing. 16, 13, 15, and 11.
Sweet. Okay.
Sully and Mr. Fredrickson. I had to pick Mr. Fredrickson. And Bing Bong versus Doug. I picked Bing Bong.
What?
Bing Bong's going all the way.
I don't know why. I was just feeling it. Bing Bong.
I also feel attached to Bing Bong. Like, what an epic sacrifice.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. You always forget how great of a character he is. Like,
underrated character.
Yeah, for sure. So this is number 13 and number 15 in the final two. Surprise, surprise, I picked Bing Bong. So yeah, Bing Bong won my bracket. I just want to say that I probably would have only included like a third of these characters in my list. Like, I don't, maybe more than that, but I just feel like these are so random. Some of them, I disagree strongly with the rankings that they gave, but.
For sure. Lots of great Pixar characters left out here. Of course, there are only 16, but yeah, a few randos in here that don't belong anywhere near the top 16. Bing Bong, let's go. All right. So those two, in terms of like taking the actual rankings, two absolute messes of a bracket. Let's see how yours pans out, Kylie. What was your category?
I chose Disney movies, and I did the ranking based off of the box office ticket sales for the top 16. So number one was Avengers Endgame,
And number 16 was Toy Story 4. So that's our first mashup. Matchup. Toy Story 4 is my least favorite movie ever created. So Endgame won that one. Not a problem.
Yeah, not to mention Endgame's a great movie. Like,
yeah. So no upset there.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect from a 1 versus 16 there.
Yeah.
Moving on to the number 8 seed was Black Panther. Number 9 seed was Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. And not a huge Star Wars fan, to be honest. So I'm a big Marvel fan. Black Panther won for that one.
Yeah, great movie. I feel like The Last Jedi was the one that got a lot of flack.
It did.
It was very controversial. So,
yep. And moving along, number 4 seed. This makes me just, I guess, what's up with the number 4s?
Everyone's number 4s have been
bad. But The Lion King, but not the one you would think.
Oh my gosh, the live one?
The live action.
Yeah.
Lion King. Against number 13, Iron Man 3, which also is probably one of the worst Marvel movies, I think. It's just an unnecessary film. And then what happens in Iron Man 3, you're like, okay, how did that relate to the rest of everything in the MCU? So I let The Lion King go through there.
Thank you. I actually like that movie.
I like it. But it's not the original.
Yeah, I liked it. I just think it's kind of like a meme that it's number 4.
Number 5 seed was The Avengers, the original Avengers. And number 12 was Incredibles 2. This was a tough one for me. And I think if it was the first Incredibles, it would have gone the other way. But I chose the Avengers for that one.
Yeah.
There's just something special about the first Avengers movie. It's extra good. Mm-hmm. Where they all meet for the first time. Yeah, I like it. Anyway, number 2, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And number 15 was Captain Marvel. So I actually The Force Awakens is like the one of the two Star Wars movies that I actually enjoy watching. So I chose The Force Awakens for that one.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Like it made me really excited about the other two movies. And then I saw The Last Jedi and I was still like, okay. And then I never went to see number 9.
That one and Rogue One are the two that I enjoy watching. All right, number 7 seed was Avengers Age of Ultron. And number 10 was Frozen. And I was shocked that Frozen was that far down on the list.
Me too.
For ticket sales. But I chose Frozen for that one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No question.
Number 3, Avengers Infinity War. And number 14, Captain America Civil War. These are my two favorite Marvel movies pitted against each other. So this...
the first round. That stinks.
This really broke my heart. And after consulting with my husband, I finally decided on Civil War.
Because he picked the other one.
He picked the other one, and I wanted to cry leaving Civil War out, so I switched it.
All right.
And number 6 was Frozen 2, and number 11 was Beauty and the Beast, but the live action version.
Oh, never mind. That's not as hard.
So Frozen 2 had that one in the bag.
Wow. Yeah, not even close.
Moving into the Elite 8, we have number 1 Endgame with number 8 Black Panther, and Endgame won that one for me.
All right, this bracket's, you know, in terms of the number rankings.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Not too ridiculous so far.
Number 4, The Lion King. live action paired with number 5, The Avengers. And I chose The Avengers in that one. Number 2, The Force Awakens, with number 10, Frozen. Frozen won out for that one.
There we go. And I just want more representation of, like, Disney animated movies. Yeah, what?
Well, yes.
Are there, like, 2 on there?
So, not 3? After doing this, I was sad because there's 1 Pixar movie and there's 2 Disney animated movies, 2 Disney live action, and then the rest are Marvel and Lucasfilm. Wow. So,
yeah.
I would like to do one that's like Marvel, one that's Star Wars, one, except there aren't that many Star Wars, but one that's Pixar, one that's just...
Yeah.
But then I was like, if I did Disney, Walt Disney Studios, that still includes all the live actions. And for some reason, all the live actions...
Right.
Their ticket sales were higher than the animated. I don't get it.
Yeah. But, and you also have to be careful about, like, the difference in, like, prices over a period of time.
Yeah,
that's true. Because that really inflates the current numbers and most recent films. But, all right, let's continue.
So this one is number 14, Captain America Civil War, against number 6, Frozen 2. And this was another hard choice because it's one of my favorite Disney movies paired with one of my favorite Marvel movie. But because I was in a Disney mindset going into this bracket, Frozen 2 won for that.
Frozen versus Frozen 2.
I applaud that choice, Kylie.
Yeah, me too. I would pick that too.
Good. And the final 4, we have number 1, Endgame, versus number 5, The Avengers. And Endgame won for that one. There's just something so epic about Endgame that...
Yeah.
And number 10, Frozen, versus number 6, Frozen 2. And I think I've talked about this before, but Frozen 2 had it for me.
Yeah. I would have picked that too.
Frozen 2 is just, I think, all around better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So numbers wise, it's kind of like the actual March Madness tournament this year. You got a couple of your favorites and a couple of those underdogs who made their way through. So nice. Good choices. Oof.
The final 2.
This is hard.
Number 1, Endgame. Number 6, Frozen 2. And that the Disney mindset, I went with Frozen 2.
Nice. Wow, yeah.
That's there a really hard choice.
That it was a hard
choice. I feel like it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges.
It's really hard to compare these types of movies. And that was another reason where I was like, I should have done... excluding Marvel and Star Wars, because
Zeven is not a huge Marvel person. I recognize the excellence of Endgame. It's such a great movie. We all loved Frozen 2 as well, so that's a tough matchup. So number 6 took it for you.
Yes.
All right.
But I mean so sad, like The Lion King, that, you know, any none of the original princess movies.
No.
So
sad.
If we did the price inflation, I feel like Snow White would probably be there if we took that into account.
Yeah. That'd be really complicated. It's sad.
All right, everybody goes to see the Marvel movies. Yeah. We know.
Those big ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then freaking Beauty and the Beast live action.
My gosh.
Horrible.
I think I saw that twice, maybe 3 times.
I pretty much unapologetically hate that movie.
Oh, it's so bad.
Do you really? I don't think I knew you hated that movie so much.
No, you can clearly hear the auto-tune.
Oh, yes.
And with that constantly. Big of a budget, it's like, just get another take. Like, oh my gosh, it's so bad. And then I thought Gaston was really weak. That was a really weak performance. There were just quite a few things about the movie that I was annoyed at. Some of the songs that were added Yeah, I was like, come on, this is totally not in the style of like the original, and they didn't include some of the better ones in the musical version.
Literally, that was probably one of my biggest problems with it, because at the time I was doing Beauty and the Beast when that came out, and I was like, oh, maybe they'll have songs from the musical, but they didn't, and they added that one song with Belle's dad, with Maurice, and not the one that's in the musical, which is better. And yeah, also like Evermore, some people like that. Oh, I don't. I hate that song.
That's Ben's like favorite song. That's not favorite, but he loves that song.
Wait, but they also didn't include If I Can't Love Her.
No, yeah,
which
exactly.
That song's better.
That song, like, is so good.
Yeah, because like, yeah, it also wasn't that I hated Evermore. It was just like, this is not exactly like what I expect with Beauty and the Beast, and you replaced a better song with something like this. Yeah. So now this has divulged into a rant about live action movies. So, all right, let's wrap it up. Those were our three bracket challenges. Wonder if you agreed or vehemently disagreed with how those turned out. Let us know. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.